In April of this year, a 34-year-old Vermont man took his life inside the Southern State Correctional Facility in Springfield. Patrick Fennessy had been in and out of prison since 2007 when he was convicted of a burglary charge, but his mental health issues contributed to his inability to stay out of prison. In a special report from VT Digger, the paper's criminal justice reporter Elizabeth Hewitt reveals how a lack of appropriate mental health treatment outside of the prison system kept Fennessy locked up after he could have been released. We spoke with Hewitt yesterday about her reporting.
Patrick Fennessy was convicted in 2007 on a charge of burglary and trespass. Patrick had grown up in southern Vermont, and he had had some encounters with legal troubles before that time, but the conviction that put him in prison was in 2007.
So Fennessy was also dealing with some pretty serious mental health issues, and some of them were apparent before he went to prison. Can you describe, as best you know it, what kind of conditions he was dealing with and how that affected his ability to get out and stay out of prison?
I spoke with Patrick Fennessy's older brother, James, who was 4 years his senior. And James said that his brother had started to show signs of mental illness when he was in his late teens. It's unclear to me exactly what his medical diagnosis might have been or if he did, in fact, have a medical diagnosis. But his brother had said that it's possible that he would have had bipolar disorder.
But it's safe to say that he was dealing with some pretty serious issues?
Yeah, he certainly was. And family, as well as criminal justice professionals who knew him, recalled that he had attempted suicide several times outside of prison. And records that I found showed that he had attempted inside prison as well as he had been on self-harm watch several times while he was in Southern State.
And he also was given the designation that's only in the prison system, and that's seriously functionally impaired. And there are quite a few, a couple hundred, maybe 100 to 200 prisoners at any given time who have that designation. What does that mean for somebody in the prison system?
Right. So seriously functionally impaired, or they call it SFI, includes somebody who has severe bipolar, but it would also extend to somebody with dementia. Or with PTSD.
Or with a traumatic brain injury.
Or with a traumatic brain injury. So it really expands it to a host of different impairments, they call it, that would possibly affect the way that somebody would behave in the correctional setting. This is something that's useful for prison staff because SFI would sort of trigger that they would require some other attention. Patrick Fennessy, he had more difficulties than a lot of people.
So let's talk about how Patrick Fennessy's mental health issues actually contributed to him staying in prison longer than he should have, both not being able to get out when he could have, but also going back into the system. Why is that the case, that his mental health issues were what was causing him to stay in prison?
Right. So everybody that gets out of corrections will have a certain sort of review plan when they get out, you know, that they'll check in with a parole officer. There can be a range of different things.
Well, and things like they have to have a housing plan, and that has to fall within what their parole restrictions are, that kind of thing, right?
Exactly. Now, because of Patrick's needs, because of his mental health issues, he required more than just a roof and a bed. He needed to be receiving mental health treatment. He needed more supports than the average prisoner being released. And so the state has a process for that. And for the most serious cases, that involves people from the Department of Corrections working with people from other departments in the Agency of Human Services. So you have the Department of Mental Health, the Department of Health might be involved, Department of Disabilities, Aging and Independent Living. And all of these folks get together and see what services might be available within a particular community to suit this person's needs. Now, that happened for Patrick Fennessy. It actually happened on a few different occasions that they got together and they worked with local community partners down in the Springfield area, and they put together a plan that would hopefully give him the supports that he needed to thrive in the outside community. Unfortunately, it seemed that that plan was not sufficient, that he had been out, I think, in early 2012. He went back into prison on a violation related to drug or alcohol use. You know, you can violate parole that way. That might be a way to get back in. But then he was released again in December 2013. And this was after a year and a half of correction staff and different community players working to try to put together a support plan to keep him out in the community. He gets out in December 2013 And he was then back in prison in August. In that case, he had inadequate housing for his needs. People who knew him told me that he at that time was living in an apartment in Springfield, but that was not the Department of Corrections determined that he needed more than that. He needed a facility that he could receive mental health treatment, and that was for his safety and for other people's safety as well.
So was the determination through your reporting or from the people that you talked to that the services weren't available all in one community that could actually have helped Patrick Fennessy and helped follow that plan of wraparound care that he was required to have?
There are a lot of services. Let me start by saying that there are many services available in the Springfield area. There are all over Vermont. But part of the problem is that there really aren't sufficient supports for the number of people that need to draw on them and for the intensity with which they might need it. So for Patrick, in Patrick's case, he went back on a housing violation and he stayed in prison. And while people he knew out in the community and he himself were looking for places that might be able to take him. But repeatedly, they were hearing from different facilities, mental health facilities, that no, his needs were too acute that they wouldn't be able to provide that. So I think it does come down to partially is that our system, our community-based healthcare system, which is what the state switched to from the state hospital, that in a way it's stretched too thin to be able to serve all of the people that require services. And so in a way, this is still a rather new system. And when I spoke to different folks who work in the Agency of Human Services, there was sort of an attitude that this is something that we're still learning. We are still figuring out what capacity we need as a state to serve this population.
Yeah, you speak with Dr. Dolores Burrows Byron in your article, and she's the head of health services for the Department of Corrections. And she pointed out that DOC is really one of the primary mental health providers in the state, and in fact, one of the most comprehensive mental health providers in the state.
Certainly. And while we have this community-based system, we have many different players that are able to offer different services to different people in different towns and regions. But in a way, a prison is one of the only places in the state that can offer everything in one place and make sure that somebody with a criminal background is safe and secure and also receiving treatment. And that's an unusual situation in our state at this time.
Patrick Fennessy did commit suicide in prison. Did you get a sense from the people you were talking to that better mental health care services either inside or outside of prison could have helped him?
People that I spoke to who knew him recalled that in the months before his death, he seemed to be on the improvement, that he had gone several months without having a serious attempt. He had recently been moved out of a unit in Southern State that's specifically for mental health patients. He had been moved from there to a general population unit. He had a roommate at the time. So even though he had a long history of self-harm and of suicide attempts, it caught a lot of people who knew him by surprise because he did seem to be improving.
You talked with several people who really cared about Patrick Fennessy in your article and who were devastated by his suicide. And it's a very sad story that you tell. Do you see any broader lessons in his story?
I think that Patrick Fennessy's story it's unique in how tragic it is, but he certainly is not the only person in the Department of Corrections who has a similar story. There are, according to the Department of Corrections, 44% of men in the Vermont prison system and 70% of women receive some form of mental health treatment while they're incarcerated. And that's a huge number of people. Now, not everybody is as severe as Patrick Fennessy, but there's a crossroads between when somebody gets out of the Department of Corrections and when they get into the community and they suddenly start working with all of these other departments that provide human services. All of the players aren't necessarily able to connect in a way that they are fully able to serve. I spoke to a lot of people who talked about how hardworking and devoted a lot of the people in all of these different departments are to their jobs. It's not necessarily a failing of the people who are working there. It seems that there's something in our system that it's not able to meet the full capacity that we require.
Elizabeth Hewitt is the criminal justice reporter for VT Digger. We have a link to her story on Patrick Fennessy up at vpr.net. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane.